Alrighty, here we go. Teeny tiny lady coming into the wooden wagon. She's in a pickle jar. She chooses the letter of the day. And the reason she chooses the letter of the day is because Jacob doesn't like to work that hard. I was explaining that to a guy today. I met. I said, man, these millennials, it's so weird. I give Jacob a job. Hey, how about this? We do this, and the writer, the listeners could do this. And Jacob goes, no, I don't want to do that. I said, why not? That's just too much work.
And now he has the nerve to go on vacation to boot.
Not like that. Now the teeny tiny comes in because although he's certainly not a millennial, look at him over there. He didn't help Teeny Tiny find anybody to be with, so she's all by herself again. Hi, Teeny.
Hello.
She's all right. She's going to ride in the thing. Oh, she's bouncing all over the place, though. I fear for her diving in there. All righty. I got to sit back down. I'm going to scare you there. Not only Mike Dillon said, my friend Mike Dillon said yesterday about when Carol dies, he wants to marry you, Tom. But look out, Carol, if he knocks you off early, careful what you're drinking there. He also said, could you do me a favor and not be so mean to this woman? It's full of criticisms last night, my friend Mike Dillon.
Who's mean to me?
No, I am. He said, I'm mean to you. He said, Hannah comes on, says one thing, and then I just rip into you. And then at the end, I try to make it seem all better by going, Hannah, God love you. And then I hang up on you. All right. So Miss Riot, Miss Protest. Last night, the police wanted to move some cars and people were upset.
There was a lot of stuff going on last night. A couple of different protests. There was one up on Capitol Hill where we had some more buildings or some more businesses smashed. And then down right by the studio over by the East Lake State Patrol kind of little mini office they have over there. Mm-hmm. That's where the Everyday March, I believe, is who was there, gathered for a vigil for Summer Taylor. She was killed on I-5 mm-hmm. back in July during that demonstration. Uh-huh. So this was a vigil for Summer. I've put a little mix together for you so you can hear what it all sounded like.
Here we go.
Here you go.
All right.
Our concern is you're creating safety hazards, blocking the roadway. Hey, please let me finish. And this is what you have to say. I'd like you guys to voluntarily choose to move your vehicles. However, if you don't, we're going to bring tow trucks in and we will remove them. So okay. This is the opportunity.
So basically what you're telling us, you're basically telling us how and when we can exercise our first amendment right.
No, but you can't do that because that's not your right.
You can place safety restrictions.
No, you cannot. Okay. No, you cannot. Not on people's constitutional rights.
All right.
You can easily shut down this to protect us. No.
You violate our rights.
No.
Riot formation in the middle of a vigil.
Please, thank you. Okay, so here we go. We're pushing back down. There it is. It's going down.
Here's my breath back.
No. Goes the mace. So I got mace.
That's my buddy Amari Salisbury last night, right as he got to the scene. So there you go. That's kind of how it went down. If you can tell, the officers there outside the State Patrol were out in pretty heavy riot gear. State Patrol was there along with SPD. But the issue seemed to be that there were vehicles coming off. It was like Montlake area off the freeway at a speed and they had the car brigade there kind of blocking some of that, that the officers were concerned about the safety. They wanted to move the cars. They ended up towing some cars. In the end, I think one person got arrested in that demonstration up on Capitol Hill. Two people were arrested in the smashing of the windows.
Right. So they said you got to move the cars because cars are coming off the exit there at 60 miles an hour. And these cars that you have parked here, we can't have it because you can't stop people from coming off the highway, off of 520, right?
That was essentially what the cop said. And then what the demonstrator said, though, was, no, this is, you have to basically do this and make it safe for us to exercise our First Amendment right.
To march around on a highway.
That seemed to be the take, yes.
Yeah. So Summer Taylor's killed while dancing on a major thoroughfare. And these people are going to stand around also on a major road, not quite as intense as I-5. And they're asking the police, which they want the police to, they want to defund the police. They're asking for the police to protect them.
Yes, correct. As a matter of fact, there was a good long 10-minute or so lashing, kind of verbal lashing of the officer in charge, basically the demonstrator saying that the officers had all failed by letting Summer Taylor get killed on the freeway back in July. Not protecting.
You have any sound of the good verbal lashing?
I don't, actually. I'm sorry.
That's, you save that for your for the long album. Okay, and then didn't you get a chance to talk to Jacob Blake's aunt?
Aunt, yes. This is his aunt. This is Nicole Blake Shuffitz is her name, and she lives in Auburn. She's local. She's been here for a long time, former criminal defense attorney. She called, she joined forces with the Seattle chapter, the original Seattle chapter, Black Lives Matter is what they're called. Mm-hmm. And they had a press conference outside of Seattle City Hall today. Here's some of what she had to say. Very passionate.
We told them to stop after Trayvon. We told them to stop after Sandra Bland. We told them to stop after Orlando Castillo. We especially told them to stop after George Floyd. Now, after the attempted execution of my nephew, we are telling them to stop again. And I'd like to hear people using the term seven to the back. Seven to the back. Seven to the back is a symbol that white cops are so scared of black men that they shoot them seven times from 2 inches away because of their own personal fear. What kind of family did this man grow up in that he assumed a black man needed to be killed seven times? And do trust, he meant to kill him.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Wow. She also put out a call to action, basically a call for protests. But she said, just like Jacob Blake's family back in the Midwest have said, to keep them peaceful. But she had this point to make also.
Uh-huh. The question is,
Martin Luther King Jr. was my father's role model. And I believe Martin Luther King Jr. won the day because white people were scared of the Black Panthers, Malcolm X, and Black Power. So I'm going to not say that as individuals, individuals won't do what they do. Will I denounce them? I'm telling them in advance, don't do it. Individuals are individuals. They have different points of view than me. I can't do anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
So basically calling for the peaceful protest, but saying essentially what her point was that, you know, the civil rights movement was successful because white people were afraid of black people. There was that fear factor that got everyone as far as they got, and not really calling for anyone to, you know, be violent or threaten to be violent, but that it wouldn't maybe be so bad if they did because it might help the situation, you know, get better.
Yeah.
You haven't heard that argument much, you know, in the discussions. It does remind me of the 60s a bit. Stokely Carmichael and all. I mean, there were a lot of divisions among the civil rights leaders about how forceful you should or shouldn't be, violent or nonviolent. It sounds like she's kind of splitting the difference, saying, I understand the role of, you know, the threats, but I, you know, I land on the side of nonviolence. Yeah.
I guess yes, this would be very similar to the Dallas sniper that shot the five or six police officers there, right, after the
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, well, that's violent. And the same sort of thing about the Black Panthers, the idea of being armed and being scared, and white people then scared of black people that then had guns and were walking around, right? We had seen that in the 60s. So maybe she's saying, listen, if it goes that way, it goes that way. I'm just saying maybe this is the only way to get them to stop. But, you know, she's very upset, obviously. Her nephew is critically injured to the point of being paralyzed. I think they removed his large and his small intestines. This guy's going to suffer for a very, very long time as a result of the police trying to get him. They tried to tase him. The taser worked or didn't work. He walks around to the front of the car, reaches into the car, and the police officer at that point believes he had a knife, which they have found the knife on the floorboard of the car. They don't know if he had a knife prior to that. They do have the video, not video, but they do have audio of the cop saying to him twice, drop the knife, drop the knife. And then he goes around the front of the car. The cop grabs hold of his shirt and shoots him seven times. So it's one of these things where it seems like the one reoccurring theme of most of these is the idea that the cop says something or the cops say something and the person doesn't obey the cop. And then it escalates to the point that the person gets shot.
And it, well, and it does. And I think the point is, though, that everyone tries to make is that that should be de-escalating on the, by the police should be trying to de-escalate that. That's the conversation that you'd hear among demonstrators. And certainly in this particular case, what we heard from the aunt today and from all of his family members and from many of the protesters who've been out, not just here in Seattle, but across the country, is that there's no reason to shoot him in the back seven times.
Well, right. There's no reason other than the fact that cop doesn't know if he's going to reach. What's he reaching for?
Right. I understand. And but is two or not, like even the aunt said today, maybe at the very least we could say six shots instead of seven. You know what I mean?
I think your brain, when you're a police officer, you see the guy reaching in there to do something. Your brain just all of a sudden, you don't even know how many shots that Castile guy that was killed when they asked that cop about it. And he said, you know, I don't remember. I remember firing two. I think he shot Castile like seven or eight times. So, you know, that's an example of all of a sudden it's one human being, another human being, and you think your life and just bang, 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 and you just shoot seven times. Unfortunate situation, and we're still trying to figure out, was he called there? Were the cops called there because this guy was not the one that was supposed to be there? We don't know, but will there be another protest tonight, Hannah?
There's protests every night. Even the one last night was only, you know, I think it was maybe 50 or so people. But yes, there's a couple of meetings. There's a protest. We do have the Ant and Black Lives Matter, Seattle Original, who are going to be doing a weekend protest on Sunday evening, 6 to 9, up in the old Chop Zone. This one will be in Jacob Blake's name, and the official protest. So that one might be interesting. And there's some other activities going on over tomorrow and over the weekend.
Do you have any information on the fact that the feds have come in and they're the ones charging for the cement in front of the door of the police station and also stepping in and doing the charging regarding the key bank?
I know for sure that they definitely came in and officially charged the one guy who was arrested for Monday nights with the sealing of the East Precinct. Federal arson charges, I believe, were officially filed today. And I've not seen yet the key bank charges. So I'm not certain about that. But I know that the feds are getting involved. Yes.
Okay. And Hannah, do you know, is the aunt related to the father or the mother? Of Jacob
to the
Blake.
Father, so to the father, father of Jacob Blake, yes.
Because we have some sound coming up in a bit from the mother who has a very different tone.
Right.
The message is still the same, but the tone is very different.
The message being very, you know, unacceptable, but also I think the mother has been very, very much about the peaceful protest,
not so
much going into what we did in the 60s kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Which I got the impression from the aunt was she was trying to toe the family line, but maybe had some of her own opinions.
Is this the aunt that she refers to when she's speaking to Don Lemon?
I don't know. It's possible. This is the. I don't know. I don't believe they're terribly close, as far as I can tell.
All right. Hey, Hannah.
Yeah.
See that? Was that a fun kind of time to come on and talk about serious topics and not feel like you're getting beaten
fun.
Up on me?
Yes. Don't, if you don't beat up on me, I don't know what I'm going to do. I won't be on anymore.
Okay. Talk about Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. Less of M action going on there. All right. Thank you, Hannah. Okay. There she goes. Tomorrow. Have her back on tomorrow. Tom, you had done a little talking about... Jacob Blake's mom. So she's on yesterday with Don Lemon, and I'm always amazed at the composure of an individual after something absolutely completely just devastating and to the point of a nightmare, and they still are able to sit there and have the microphones hooked onto them and then have the IFB in their ear and explaining in 5 seconds you're going to hear Don Lemon just look directly into the camera and can you hear okay, and they do the sound check and everything, and then here is Don Lemon asking her if she wants to say anything to the politicians about her son.
For President Trump, I'm sorry I missed your call, because had I not missed your call, maybe the comments that you made would have been different. And I'm not mad at you at all. I have most respect for you as the leader of our country. Like I said before, and I'm not saying this to him directly, we should always get the details from the right source before we start throwing bricks.
Or tweets.
She was asked what she asked the leaders to come together.
I've never in my life dreamed that I would actually be able to say this other than on my couch. You guys are the leaders of our country, and I personally have respect for authority. I would like to see our politicians set a better example for the citizens when it comes to the things that are is said. Less, I would like to stick to the facts and see them stop having these pillow fights. And just stick to the facts. And then once they start doing that, I think we can start concentrating on what we need to do to fix our country.
She's asking politicians to stick to the facts.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently she's implying that Donald Trump said something that he wouldn't have said if he had talked to her, implying that she had some facts that he got wrong. I don't know. He hasn't really said much about the shooting. In fact, he's been criticized for not weighing in more,
mm-hmm.
at least in terms of recognition or condolence or something. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And this is a second day. The day before is when she was at that press conference. Mm-hmm. And you cannot believe the father, I think, in some ways was more relatable as a human because we could understand his fury, his upset, his hurt mm-hmm. about what had happened to his son. He was very teary. This woman came off as so composed. I agree with you, John. We've done this a number of, for a number of years we've been in the business. Mm-hmm. There are times where people are so, they rise above the occasion that just, we're just sort of left, you know, gasping in awe about how together somebody going through the worst grief imaginable can be.
Yeah, I admire the strength. So often, unfortunately, the people we see interviewed, the strength of African-American mothers. I mean, it's like, especially an older woman like this, I forget how old Jacob is, but, you know, she obviously has been through a lot.
Jacob was 29.
Yeah,
so
she's been through a lot with this 50s. Kid. He's been charged with a bunch of different things, and she just seems so stoic, so strong, and just this rock for this family to what her son is going to have to go through. She talked about at the very beginning of the interview, it's going to be a very, very long recovery for him. And she said, I don't harbor and have no ill will towards the police officer. And please stop rioting and looting. If you're doing it in Jacob's name, he would never want that to happen.
Please don't.
They wanted to interview him, but they said he was just too hopped up on drugs right now, just trying to deal with all that pain. They removed his large and his small intestines, and they believe he'd be paralyzed. And he is going to have a very, very long road. It won't. I don't know how much of a recovery it'll be. It'll just be a difficult, mm-hmm. difficult life for him. It is, as I said to somebody the other day, that it seems like most of these cases, it gets to the point, as Hannah said, it's supposed to be a de-escalation of the police. It's a de-escalate a situation, but it's the person is under arrest or they get a DUI and they're being stopped or whatever it is, and then there's a scuffle and then you get into resisting arrest and then the police are, then it's, you know, out of control moments where everybody's jumping on top of everybody and it's stuff all over the place and then someone, that's what you get, right? Resisting arrest, and this is what happens, right, Tom?
I know.
Not following a command. Stop, don't go there, but hands up, whatever, right?
But de-escalating, it feels like, is still doable. If somebody is resisting arrest, you can still de-escalate. I mean, after all, this guy, we knew who this guy was. Mm-hmm. We had his car, we had his kids, all of these kinds of things.
Right. So he walks around the front of the car back up.
I don't know, but the end result is not the preferred
certainly
means.
Not. Certainly not. Right, right back. Lake Washington Windows and Doors reminding you it's a good idea if the windows and doors are not sitting right, they're not set right, and there's moisture that's getting into the house, that's a problem. And if it's heat going out, you're also wasting money. Let's keep that biggest investment you've got, which is your house, is well insulated. It's Lake Washington Windows and Doors taking care of everything for you. Oh, my goodness, Tom, can you feel the excitement? The RNC has already begun, and Franklin Graham is speaking. So I guess he's starting with the opening prayer. So
okay.
There you go.
Boy, speaking of the prayer, did you hear the prayer from the rabbi last night that kicked off night three?
Political.
Yes, I was stunned.
No.
He was ripping just social justice warriors or something. Yeah, I was caught off guard.
I know. Expect anything. You want to have a prayer. I don't like when people use prayer and God and religion as a way of sort of splitting people as a wedge thing. It's like, oh, look at me. I'm saying I'm adding God or I'm not adding God. And just, you know, I can't stand these this type of conventions. It's so obvious the way they're pushing this in order to try to make these statements, in order to try to sell somebody something. So it's everything is all about statements. WNBA says we're not going to play tonight. So they're protesting, right?
The last two nights.
Yeah.
Hey, we were prepping for yesterday's show, and then all of a sudden it was sort of breaking. I don't even know if we mentioned it, that Milwaukee Bucks had decided, since they're obviously so close to Kenosha, that they weren't going to play a playoff game, no less.
Right.
And after that, then a couple of dominoes fell. All the NBA playoffs were canceled last night.
Of course, have to.
Well, I don't know. I mean, so if you have to, then let's say, so that's one domino that fell. Well, then the WNBA followed suit. But the MLB, Major League Baseball, there were three games, I think, the Milwaukee Brewers, but the Seattle Mariners and San Diego Padres. The Mariners, my understanding is the Mariners decided as a team not to play.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of San Diego players were already out on the field, but when they were informed that Seattle was not going to play, they said, okay, we agree. And at that point, I think the LA Dodgers, San Francisco Giants, San Diego, and Seattle, so in the Western Division, they all didn't play, but other baseball teams played. So I think that it was sort of left to individual decisions. And then the big issue today was the NBA, the LA Clippers and the Lakers, along with the Bucks, are considered the two strongest teams to win the NBA championship. There was serious consideration that they might just cancel the entire season, no longer go on with the playoffs. I think if you're, as a sports fan at least, a lot of people were relieved to hear that they decided, you know what, we have a bigger platform while we play to make our social comments than if we stop playing. And so they decided to go ahead and play.
Right. The ratings are in the tank anyway, so people have really sort of turned off.
Are they really? I haven't heard that, because there's no other alternative. I was thinking maybe they'd be high. There are no fans. Obviously, if people aren't following pro sports, there are no fans in the stadium. They're all living in a bubble. I think it's Orlando, Florida.
Disney.
And but I hadn't heard anything about the ratings, so that's interesting.
Yeah, I'd seen that yesterday, that the ratings continue to sort of tank. The idea, and I'm one of these, listen, if I want to watch the NBA, I don't want to watch politics. I don't want to see anybody with stuff on the back of their shirts. I don't care. Just play basketball.
And they all do, by the way.
I know, of course, because you have to. Because you have to be able to do that. Because if you don't do that, because of the way social media drives so many of the players' personalities, and Instagram is such a big part of the NBA now, that you have to have something. And then you have to tweet about it, and you have to talk about it, and then you have to be LeBron James and say that he's scared, and every black person is scared, and he himself is terrified. The chances of LeBron James being killed by a police officer, about one in probably a trillion. So,
but did you see Doc Rivers, the coach of the San Diego Clippers? He gave a very passionate post-game interview where he talked about how hard it is to be growing up in America as a black man, whether you're, you know, well-known or not. You're not necessarily recognized by everybody. Mm-hmm. And I thought Doc Rivers was very effective, because he's a very quiet guy. He says, I just want to be coach, but I can't be allowed to just be coach, because so much of this is happening. Anyway, I thought it was very heartfelt.
Yeah.
Obviously, you disagree. But
I do. I do. I don't believe in those players that are the millionaires and close to billionaires that play NBA basketball, or any athlete anyway. All you got to do is, as I've heard, it was Jason Whitlock and others have said, don't break the law, and if the police officer tells you to do something, do it, and you won't end up dead. And
that's right.
And LeBron James shouldn't have to what?
That you shouldn't have to risk your life by defying a police officer telling you something. That's the difference. If a white person defied a police officer, the end result might be different than if a black person defied.
Prove
it. That's what
prove
all
it.
These black people.
Prove
well, I don't know. I mean,
they prove it
through a lived experience.
Nope,
I watched
nope,
a lot of
nope,
ESPN,
nope, nope,
and they
nope,
all
nope,
said
yep,
these are the kinds of yep, things. Yep. Everywhere this guy goes, he was one a retired former NBA player. He says, I always have my ID, you know, and car keys with me and wallet to make sure that I, you know, that there's no, hey, I can identify myself who I am, because he doesn't trust the cops.
Yep.
And they all, one by one, former players and announcers and all of that, said they don't have the luxury of being a white person. They can't imagine what that might be like.
Right. They can't imagine what that would be like.
There's always that concern.
Right. Well, the media is making sure that is the case, and so is LeBron James making that the case, that you should be terrified, absolutely terrified, even though the statistics don't back that up. But it doesn't matter. It is all about making sure that people believe it, because when a white guy gets killed by a cop, that doesn't make the news. Or when a cop gets shot and killed by somebody, you don't see that video. But there's tons of videos. If you want to watch them, you can watch them. But those are not stories that people need. But stories what people need is to continue the narrative that white police officers are out killing black people indiscriminately. And there is no evidence that race is involved in the murder of George Floyd. There is no evidence there is a race. Tom, what evidence? We've said this before, I've given you 4 days to find it.
Yes.
What empirical evidence do you have that officer killed George Floyd because of the skin color of George Floyd's skin?
Because if you looked at how many times did he do that to a white guy, that's the way you can compare it to.
And it's how many white guys had three times the amount of fentanyl in their system as George Floyd, whose lungs weighed 2 to 3 pounds more than they should have because he was dying of the fluid in his lungs.
Yes. Okay. So whites don't do drugs. Is that what you're telling me?
No.
No, listen, here's the thing about the reason we got rid of that malice. The reason we have a guy, an Auburn officer, was it, who's charged for the first time in 40 years, is because he got rid of the malice issue. And what's the malice? Because malice, you have to look into a guy's heart. And that's almost impossible to prove. You're asking to have something impossible to prove. So you look at the act. And is it a racist act? That's the thing. If it's a black man, under the heel of a white man, that's as good an argument that it's a racist act as not. Now, if you establish that he does that 15 times over to white people, are treated differently by cops than African Americans.
Did you tell Tony Timba that? Have you told Tony Timba that?
Sure, I told him that yesterday.
You couldn't, because Tony Timba died, Tom, when he was restrained by police, when the police had their foot on the back of his neck, and he told them I couldn't breathe, and he died. But we didn't see that video, and no one marches for Tony Timba, because Tony Timba is white. Tony Timba's not black, and when David Schaefer was shot and killed, and he begged the police officers not to shoot him in the hallway, in the hotel, while walking forward on all four hands, and the guy unloads and kills David Schaefer in cold blood right there in the hallway. That doesn't make the news.
But the thing is, police brutality is news. And if it happens to whites, that's fine. It might not be racist, but it doesn't mean that police brutality doesn't exist.
Hold on.
And
Tom,
until the cell phone was invented, we never saw any of these instances
Men
being mistreated.
How do you know it's racist?
You know it by the act. You can't judge the heart of anybody, so you have to look at the act.
Okay, so then when Tony Timba was killed the exact same way that George Floyd was killed, that was racist.
I don't know. So I don't know enough about the situation. If it's a white man against a white, unless he has,
he hates his race.
Yes,
so it's
probably
the act.
Not.
So it's the act. So the act. So the act is racist. I see. So we're
that's the only way we can judge it. It's just like Donald Trump. Donald Trump may be in his heart of hearts not a racist, but he uses racist language, and that's how we have to judge him by the language that he uses, because you can't know anybody's heart, just like you can't prove malice and why no cop was ever charged.
This is good. So we are judging the behavior of that police officer, and we are assuming racist because he has white skin. So what we've done is we've taken the color of his skin and assumed a particular behavior based upon the color of the skin. And is that not, in fact, racist? I look at the color of the skin and I assume a particular behavior will occur because of the color of the skin. So therefore, that cop is a racist. That's hard to defend, Tom.
No, the thing is, that's the only way in society we can determine that. If you shoot somebody, can you prove that he meant to kill somebody, or all you can prove is that they shot somebody? That's what you have. You can't prove intent. You can suggest intent, and that's what's happened. When you have a whole history of black men being subjected this way, and more black men are being put in that position, then you can assume that. But unless he admits to it, like Sue Rahr admits to racism, it's hard to prove. You're right.
Okay, you're right too. Right back. Before we get to the letters, question way in the back there. Lady with the Lululemon pants on. Yes.
Is my pizza going to be covered in cocaine today?
Tom, pizza covered in cocaine today?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Oh,
whoa, yeah.
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 Yep.
Wow. Okay, apparently so. Hey, here comes the mail.
Lots of pizza.
Lots of pizza. Andrew loves cocaine pizza. We haven't done that in a long time. Ever since you left, my friend.
I'm the mailman.
That's too bad.
We don't serve cocaine on pizza anymore.
It's a very special 2 days then. We have.
It is. It is. It is.
I'm the mailman.
Yep. All right. And we and Sean's not here.
I miss your touch, John.
I miss you too, Sean, when you're not here. All right, Tom, we'll get to the letter of the day in just a second, but let's take care of all the rest. Teen Time Lady has chosen them, and I have to say that Scorched Earth, for you today, people were just really going after you. But we started the show by explaining that Mike Dillon's wife, Carol, when she passes, look for Mike Dillon to come over and start courting you. That'll be a whole other thing. I love you, and just today was one of these things you upset people for some reason. But it never seems to bother you. Here we go.
Nope. We start off. This is an interesting order. We start off with a drug testing question about debates. Yes. How's that for starting off our letters? 253 weighs in. Every politician should be drug tested before taking office and randomly during their time in office, just like normal citizens getting a job.
I think it'd be interesting. Although Kennedy, didn't he do a ton of drugs? Wasn't Kennedy like always hopped
up on
stuff?
I'm sure they're prescribed.
Yes, of course. Yeah, all Americans want to see Biden, President Trump debate. Makes for great television.
Get this. Make TV great again.
By the way, Mike Pence had to say, make America great again.
Great again.
Again.
I know. People are ripping him, but I think that's kind of clever.
I thought so too, but I thought, we have to deliver the second again. Here he comes. All right, going on.
Protests last night in Seattle, 206 says, screw that noise. Just write them all tickets. Give them a few minutes, then tow their cars. Yeah. Why the hell are these people special?
Yeah.
A cop would never ask me to move my car and stand around patiently while I screamed at him. He just towed my car.
Just like that. How about...
That's called de-escalation, maybe.
How about doing what the cops tell you to do, says 425.
Yeah. About the RNC, I guess, 206. If Trump is all about law and order, then why isn't there law and order in the streets now? Yeah.
That's right, 253. The woman that we're saying how good Trump is and how honest he is, I wonder how much he paid them. Ha ha ha.
And at 425, John, you question Joe Biden's Catholic faith? I question yours, that you could vote for anyone such as Trump.
Mm-hmm. And then
who took babies from their mothers, put them in cages, and deported the parents? Besides his lying every day and his racism.
Well, he is a sinner. God loves all. 253, de-escalation. You fools require both parties for success. If the perpetrator keeps perpetrating, you cannot de-escalate. This is not the fault of the police. It's the fault of our government leaders that condone and encourage the violence that release them into society. It's learned behavior, says 253.
Yeah, that's really an interesting issue. And the problem with de-escalation is you've got to decide, is it worth the kind of gunfire, something like what happened with George Floyd? I mean, if he's even guilty of what he was charged with, a counterfeit $20 bill, that's, probably not worth it, but still. Okay, 360, wow, Tom. I have to say that the South Dakota governor's assessment was much more accurate than Jenny Durkin's. The fact you won't acknowledge that says a lot about you. Diminished respect.
Oh, my God. 206 says, Tom seems like a nice man, but he sure is twisted in his views. Don't remember what Seattle used to be? The quiet city of beauty? Nobody talks about us, and we've had our corner in the Pacific Northwest. Now, thanks to many, we are screwed. Tell the truth and fight for what is right, not a political agenda, Tom.
Believe me, I remember. I've been here almost all my life.
And now it is
Seattle,
time for the letter
and now.
Of the day.
And the letter of the day happens to be about all the texters who are bad-mouthing me for
I don't know why. Weird.
Unknown reason. 253 says, ahoy, Tom. Don't forget that we all appreciate and enjoy you just as much as John. A good fight, intellectual or otherwise, is only entertaining if the opponent can hold his own. Another great show, guys.
That's
all she wrote.
Here we go.
That's all she wrote.
Good night, Tom. Thanks for a great day.
Kind of
wait, it's not over. It's another hour.
One more hour.
Ding, ding.
And the RNC.